Good morning and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's, and I'm glad to welcome you to this Monday morning. It's icy and cold here in Baltimore, but we're gathered around the light and the warmth of the Word of God. And I'm especially excited about today's broadcast. We want to start a week of exploring the book of Philippians. And I believe that if you will follow along with us every day, Monday through Friday of this week, you'll get a great deal of insight and encouragement from this book of the New Testament, the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul as a letter to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a city in Macedonia, founded by Philip of Macedonia, who was the father of Alexander the Great. It's a city that was at that time perched on the Aegean Sea, a beautiful location, and there was a strong Christian church in the first and second centuries and thereafter, and Paul's letter is addressed to them. But of course, it has a great deal of information and encouragement to us. We're not going to study verse by verse the entire book of Philippians, although it's a small book and very easy to read in even one sitting. But we're going to look selectively at several passages from Philippians and gather some of the wisdom and insight that we find in the book. I want to start at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And here we get an idea of what God has in store for the Christian, what his expectation is for the Christian. I'll be reading from the New King James, and you follow along at home. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We are asking our Heavenly Father that he would bless this study today, bless it to our hearts and to our lives, that we might live a life that is bringing honor and glory to him. First thing I want to point out is that God wants us to be like Christ, and it starts in the mind. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This is a universal idea throughout Scripture. We see it in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where he says, "For whom he foreknew, them he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." God's intent and his predestination is that we be conformed to the likeness and image of Christ, that we become more Christ-like in our living out of the gospel. And it begins in the mind. Christ's likeness begins in the way we think, in our attitudes towards the experiences of life, in our approach and attitudes toward the people we encounter in our lives, in our ability to see things the way God sees them, to feel with compassion the way God feels with compassion. Indeed, it's to love the way God loves. We need to let that mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. It gives us several important theological concepts also. It tells us, this passage tells us, that our Lord is equal with God, but he humbled himself. The doctrine of the Trinity is implied here. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is co-eternal with God, co-equal with God. He was in the beginning with God. We see that in John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That flesh, the Word becoming flesh, was none less than Jesus Christ, who was equal with God. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't something that he usurped. It wasn't something that he stole from God. He was God in the flesh. And when he came to earth, he humbled himself. He came in the form of a man. He came in the fashion of a servant. And that humility is a part of how we emulate Christ. We become like Christ when we become humble. Humility is such an important and vital part of our lives as Christians. God loves the humble. We see that in book of James. James in chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. He gives, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists those who are seeking to advance themselves, advance their cause at the expense of others, but he gives grace to the humble. It goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. God is not against us becoming well-known. He is not against us becoming prominent servants of his. He's not against us fulfilling our potential and being able to do all the things that we have a heart and a mind to do, especially to advance the welfare of humanity and our communities and our families. But God wants us to rely on the one sure and definite source of strength and power, and that is himself. And so we must be humble before God. In fact, in the prophet Micah put it this way, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, I have shown thee, O man, what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Did you get that? He said, what does the Lord require of thee? Now, if you were registering for classes at Morgan State University, for example, and they told you that you couldn't register for a given course because you hadn't met the requirements for that course, you absolutely could not pursue the course you had intended to register for because you must meet the requirements. God here lays out a requirement. What does the Lord require? He requires justice. That we do right. We treat people right. We are fair with people. We are honest with people in our dealings. And that we love mercy. That we love mercy. We all love mercy for ourselves. But we must love mercy for the other person. We must love the fact that God is a merciful God. And that third requirement is that we walk humbly with our God. That means we walk where he says we should walk. We stop when he says stop. We turn when he says turn. We back up when he says back up. We sit down when he says sit down. We walk humbly with God. We know who the leader is. We follow the directives, the commands of God. We walk humbly with our God. The humility of Christ led to his sacrifice. It says he became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came to suffer and to die by taking our sins upon himself, and he was obedient to his mission. We likewise need to be obedient. We need to do what it is that God needs us to do in order to advance the work of the kingdom. Sometimes it may be a small thing. Sometimes it may be making a small sacrifice to get the kids to a soccer game or to go to a PTA meeting after school. Sometimes it may be a larger sacrifice. Maybe the church you support needs a few extra dollars to undertake some great task. Maybe you need to sacrifice more time and join a committee or get involved in some activity in the neighborhood. But your love for family, love for community, love for nation, love for humanity may direct you to sacrifice yourself. And emulating Christ, being like Christ, living like Christ, living out the life of Christ within, the Christian will become obedient, even to sacrifice. We're not generally asked to sacrifice our lives for Christ. We're not, as the scriptures teaches us, we've generally not had to shed blood because we are Christians, but we are in a position to sacrifice for him and for the good of the world. Humility, the ability to sacrifice, an orientation towards service, and an orientation towards obedience. These are the marks that come out of this brief passage of Philippians chapter 2. We're going to continue to look all week long at the book of Philippians, because there's a great deal here. It's again, a very brief book. We can read it in one sitting. I'm going to encourage you to read it. Sit down. This is a good day. The weatherman is saying you might want to stay home today. Well, here's something to do while you're home. Get your Bible out, open to the book of Philippians, and start to read. Underline those passages that touch your heart. This second chapter is one such passage, and then we'll go on to further chapters and verses as we go through the week. This is the idea behind Vantage Point. We want to take a position in the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, standing on the promise of God, and point to God. Our objective is that you have a better relationship with God. Again, I'm Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. We're located at 655 North Bentlow Street in West Baltimore. That's the corner of Bentlow and Landville Streets, right on the 51 bus line. And we'd love to have you come and worship with us any Sunday. Our services begin at 11 a.m. And this is Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. Pastor Reginald Lawrence saying, until we get together again, keep looking up.